Very familiar passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. I remember preaching this many times in children's church and have two or three busloads of kids, 75, 100 kids. And boy, this got exciting when I would preach this. And so today I hope you become as a little child and get excited about 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." He called his name, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Well, I'm getting chill bumps, ain't you? Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" Amen. Boy, you remember the day you got saved when he called you and... So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Man, what a story. I remember Marchfield, 1978, when the Lord called me. That preacher was preaching, and everything he said, it was the Lord talking right to me. And the chill bumps were running up and down the back of my neck. The hair was standing up on my arms. I was weeping and crying. Felt a power I'd never felt before. Woo, boy. Man. And here's a little boy. And I'm going to tell you the story, the whole story in just a minute. But let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Lord, we thank you that you're still in the calling business. You call sinners. You call saints. And Lord, I pray today someone would hear your call. I'm sure in a crowd this size, there's someone that's never heard from you. They've never, through your word and through your presence, felt nor heard the power of a holy God. And today I pray you'd let them feel that. And you'd let them hear that. As I preach, I pray they'll hear you preach. And in the invitation, I pray they'll let the Holy Spirit deal with their heart and their mind and come and surrender to thee. But then, Lord, there's Christians in here. They've heard you before, but you're calling them again to other things. Some thrown in the towel, some given up, some discouraged, some gotten into sin, and you're calling them. And I pray today they'd answer that call. They know you called. They've heard it before. And then there's some that think they're Christians because they signed the card. Maybe they went through baptism. Maybe they joined a church or quit, started something. And yet they've never really heard your call. They're not saved. They've never been born again. They joined a church. And I pray today you'd call them by your eternal spirit and let them see that and be saved. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Now here's a little boy. He's not a grown man. He's a little boy. If you remember the story, his mama named Hannah had always wanted a child and couldn't have a child. And she prayed and said, "God, if you give me a boy, I'll give him back to you." A lot of people prayed that and lied. They didn't do it.
But she meant it. And when that boy got weaned and he was old enough to kind of semi take care of himself, she took him down to the temple and told Eli, the high priest, who was getting old and needed a replacement, and told him, said, I told God if he'd give me a son, that I'd give him to you, and he could work in the temple, and here he is. And she put that little boy, I don't even know if I could do that, she put that little boy, like your little boy, in the hands of that preacher, and to live and serve God, that the Bible says it, he didn't even know the Lord yet. And so she turned him over to Eli. Now Eli's getting old. He's losing his sight. He's not able to do his job like he used to. The light's going out in the temple. He's not keeping the light lit there. He's not doing things like he used to do it. He's losing his strength and everything. And so God calls this little boy one night. When Eli's just about ready to give it all up, you know, and go home to the Lord, God looks down there at that little Samuel. He remembers Hannah's prayer and says, she told me she'd give me that boy, now I'm going to take him. Yes. And he said, I like this. I used to do this in children's church. Samuel. I believe you heard it just as well as you just heard it.
Amen.
And the little boy has learned how to be obedient to his elder. He's learned how to be obedient to the priest. So he jumps out of bed in the middle of the night, in the dark. The lamps are gone out. And he runs into Eli's room and he said, here I am. And Eli wakes up and says, I'm going to come. Boy, I didn't call you. He said, what you waking me up for? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he goes back to bed, and he lays there a while, and the Lord says, Samuel. I'm serious. He heard it. And he jumps up, and he runs. And I'm sure that little boy's thinking, this man's got Alzheimer's or something. You know? And he's running there and said, here I am. He said, boy, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he goes back to bed. And God says, Samuel, Samuel. And he jumps up, he runs back, and he says, now listen, that's the Lord calling you, boy. This is the third time. That's the boy, that's the Lord calling you. Go back and say, when he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And he goes back to bed and he hears his name again. And he says, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And God tells him what he's going to do with him. And he ends up becoming one of the greatest men of God that ever lived. Now that didn't happen because he was more handsome, he was more educated, he was wiser, he was more powerful. It happened because his mama surrendered her will to God's will.
Amen.
And then the priest had enough sense to recognize that God can still call people. And then a little boy who was willing to answer the call of God on his life, that he would never be the same. He would not grow up like other little boys. He would never get to play like they get to play. He would never have friends like they had friends. He was going to be a man of God.
Amen.
And he answered the call. You say, well, that's a beautiful story, but what's that got to do with me? All these things are for our examples, Paul says. And therefore our instruction. And we're to take notice when something like this is not just a Bible story for little children. This is a Bible fact. It's a historical fact. You can go read history books and you'll find these people's names. You'll find Eli and you'll find Samuel in there, and you'll find out that Samuel became one of the greatest leaders of Israel that they ever had, and it's a historical fact. Well, preacher, what's that got to do with me? Well, he's still sending out the call.
Yes, he is.
And I want to show you just a few things. You know, when our telephone answers at the house, we say, who is that? Who's calling? And thank God now we got a caller ID. Sometimes we can tell. And I got a call yesterday. We were going down the road, and it said Rock Hill, so I answered on my cell phone. And it was a stinking salesman. And my wife said, hang up. I said, no, I'm going through the whole thing so I can put my number on that do not call list. Amen. Because he was trying to sell. I forgot what it was. Anyway, something had nothing to do with me. But the point being, who's calling? Now, there's not a person in this room that God has not called or is not calling for some reason. Everybody in this room.
Amen. Yeah.
The problem is not the caller. The problem is you're not picking up the phone. Amen? March 5th, 1978, I got up out of bed and told my wife, I said, let's go to church. We got the kids ready, went to church. I was not a Christian. I was not a church goer. We'd probably been five times in the past 3 years, and God was calling me every time I'd go. When that preacher preached, he was pointing right at me. Everything he said was about me and the Holy Ghost of God. Whenever they gave that invitation, that Holy Spirit was pulling me and calling me, and I was having to resist every time I went. Therefore, I didn't want to go because I had to resist, and that's why some of y'all don't like to go to church, because every time you go, God calls you to salvation, and you resist it, and that's not a pleasant feeling when you resist. And so therefore you don't want to go, because every time you go, you know he's going to call. There's some Christians that way too. They get out of God's will, they separate themselves from church, and everybody has anything to do with church, because every time they go, God's calling them for a specific reason, and they disagree with God, so they don't want to answer the call, so they get convicted, and they do not want to go to church, because every time they do, they get convicted, because they hear the call of God. So you don't pick up the phone. And you don't say, here I am, Lord, speak. I want to show you a couple of things about it. Number one, there's several calls. Number one, there's a call from beyond. Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now he's talking about rest from the overburden of the load of sin. He's talking about rest from the guilt of sin. He's talking about rest in a lot of cases from the consequences of our sins. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So there's a call from beyond that God calls us to save us. That's the first call we get. You're never going to get another call. You can seek God's will. You can do whatever you want to. But you're not going to get any other call than that call until you answered that call. You won't ever get nothing to help. That preacher come to my house after I visited his church. He said, he'd witness to me, and I'd say, preacher, I want to clean up my life and come down there and help your young people. He said, oh, you want to be a leader of young people? I said, yeah, I think I could help them by my bad experiences, you know, and all that. I could tell them what not to do. He said, son, you want to be a leader? I said, well, I guess so. He said, where are you going to lead them? You're going to hell. You got to get that fixed before you can get any other call. But a lot of people, they'll jump in the baptismal pool thinking that's not the call. It's not the baptismal pool that's calling you. Some of them will jump on the church roll, but that's not the call. It's not the church roll that's calling you. It's the blessed Son of God that's calling you to receive free eternal life through belief on Him and be saved. And salvation is the first call you'll ever have. And if you ignore that one, there'll not be another call.
Amen.
There's some good people who want to do good things. They want to help people. They want to be nice to people. They want to do good works and all this stuff. But they won't answer the call to salvation. So God cannot use them.
Amen. Yeah.
And then there's a call not only to salvation, but separation. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now that separation leads to sanctification. What he's saying is, child of God, now you don't do this to get saved, you do this because you are saved.
Amen. Yep.
You don't quit anything to get saved. You come unto Him to get saved. You quit things to go on to sanctification, to be a better Christian. You separate yourself from stuff to please God. Now, once God called you to save you, and you answered that call and you asked Him to save you, then after a little while, it won't be long, God will start calling you to separate. He says, okay, now I saved you. Now you need to get out of that crowd.
Amen.
But usually the crowd's done left you by then anyway. It don't take about 1 week of telling people you got saved. You'll lose about every friend you got. Amen. They'll leave you like you got leprosy or something, man. They'll run away from you every time you come in the room. They'll scatter like cockroaches when you turn on the light. Amen? That's about what they are anyway. A bunch of cockroaches. Hey, they don't intend anything good for you. And God says, come out from among that crowd. And then sometimes you'll be sitting in church and you think the preacher's talking about you. I had a fellow one time, a deacon, called me to the side one Sunday. He said, "I'm tired of this. Every sermon you preach, you're preaching right at me." He said, "I'm tired of it. That sermon today was at me." I said, "Look here." And there's about 200 people there that day. I said, "Look here, you think more of you than I do." I said, "You think I studied all week just to preach at you and leave all them other people hungry?" I said, "I'm just preaching. I don't even know what you're talking about that I was preaching at you."
Amen.
See, God was calling him to separation. He was saved, going to heaven, serving the Lord. But there were some things God was wanting to get out of his life. So God was calling him to separation. "Come out from among them. Be you separate," he said, "Lord." Look, you can't walk with devils and soul with the angels.
Amen.
You can't do that. It won't work. You know what? Either they won't like you, or you won't like you. Amen. Now, there's another call. He calls us to separation. Now, both of those are a call from beyond. Amen. Those are supernatural calls that a sinner can get, and then once you get saved, then a saint will get. And the further from the world that you run, the closer to God you'll be.
Amen. Yeah.
I told somebody yesterday, I said, "I don't have two preacher friends in this town because they think I'm a fanatic.
Thank you, Lord.
And they think I'm a nut. And I'm too old fashioned. And all that, and they call me country. I ain't never lived in the country. Farthest country I ever lived was 2 miles outside of town. I can't help it because they don't have real southern accents." But I've got news for you. When you start separating yourself and start walking with God, did you know what? The more you separate, the more He cleanses you. And that's a spiritual thing. That's not a physical thing. Now, it's a physical thing. He called Samuel out of the bed. He had to get up. He had to do what he had to do. Now, God calls us out of some things, but it's a spiritual thing. You'll look at it and you'll say, "Well, that's your opinion, preacher. I don't see nothing wrong with doing that." But God's one that's telling you, not me. I think Sister somebody said last night, I think Sister George said, "Preacher, you're not one of those real strict preachers, but you're still pretty strict." I'm really not. It's God that's strict, not me.
Amen.
I'm just telling you what He said. Amen.
Yes.
You say, "Well, I don't like that." I'm not the one calling you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amen. Whatever you hear, that's what God said, not what I said. Did you know I can't change your mind? I can't change your heart? I can't change your habits or your hobbies? Only God can do that. And by the way, you don't need to get mad at me. It's you that's doing it, not me. I'm just a mailman. Amen. Get mad at yourself. And then Luke 14:27, "Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Did you know that God calls every saint that He ever saved not only to separation, but He calls them to service?
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, I can't do anything." He wouldn't have called you. He calls you, and He wants you to do something for others through Him. See, what you're looking at, you're looking at you. You're saying, "Well, I can't do anything, or this won't benefit me, or what will this get me?" When God says, "Look, it's not about you, it's about them. And if you serve them, then I'll take care of you." Amen? See, the problem with the average Christian today, it's all about me, myself, and I. And I go down there at that church because, had one tell me the other day, "I go down there at that church because that preacher preaches positive messages and boy, he just builds me up." I said, he's 40 years old and he dresses like a 16-year-old man. How mature can he be?
Come on, man.
He said, "Well, he's positive. It's always positive." I said, "Well, I'm positive. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. If you don't come out from among them, be you separate, he's not going to bless you. I don't care what that money filthy preacher says." Amen. Feel good. I pointed at his truck. He's got a redneck truck. I said, "You see that truck right there?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's my truck." I said, "It's got a battery in it, don't it?" He said, "Yeah, it wouldn't crack without one." I said, "How many posts does that battery have on it?" He said, "2, a negative and positive." I said, "Well, you ain't nothing but a battery, and you need a negative and a positive." I said, "I'm going to give you both so you can have the power of God." Amen. I said, but all you want is a positive. And a battery's no good with just positive.
Right.
And you need both, because you need a balanced Christian life. And God calls us to service. And you're not going to get that by going to hear some nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching, panty-waist preacher. You're going to have to get in the book, and you're going to have to get saved, and you're going to have to separate yourself from some things,
Amen.
And then God can use you to serve Him.
Come on. Yeah.
I knock on people's doors, talk to people, just sitting there with a wine glass, beer can, or marijuana, or a pill, or something. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I said, you might be, but you don't look like it. Old Joe, Brother Joe used to come here. He'd look at him and say, you ain't going to heaven like that. You're going to go straight to hell. Tell him, man, I'm telling you. But they'll say, I'm looking to do something for the Lord. I said, you can't do it. You can't do it. He doesn't use unclean vessels.
Amen.
You still with me?
Amen.
There's a call from beyond to be saved, to separate, and to be sanctified, set apart for the service of God. And everybody can do it. Or he wouldn't put it in the book. Well, I can't do anything. You can live for God and be a light and shining.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You can pray.
Amen.
You can do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You can serve people. You can be nice to people. Amen. It doesn't mean everybody's got to preach or teach or pray out loud in the congregation or give $1 million to the building fund. Though if you have $1 million, you could give to the building fund. We'll take half of it. Amen. There's a call from beyond. And you know when it's happening because the Holy Ghost of God does not try to deceive you or trick you. You know what's going on. And you might lie and say the preacher did this or the church did that to me. But no, it's God, the Holy Ghost, that's doing that.
Amen.
He sends the call. You got to answer the phone, though. He's not going to make you do anything. You still with me?
Amen.
Number two, there's also a call from our burdens. A burden is defined as anything carrying a mental load. That's what it's talking about in the Bible. It's a burden. It's anything carrying a mental load. And he calls us from our burdens. Think about that. There's burdens that come from within here.
Amen.
Right here. And did you know that God puts those burdens on us? God will put burdens in here in order to do something out here. And a lot of times God will burden our heart. He will let us experience things that burden our heart so that we will open our eyes like Samuel and wake up. Sometimes there's such a thing as a wake-up call.
Amen.
But it didn't come from out there. It came from in here. God dealing with the heart. And you woke up one day and you thought, oh man, I better get this fixed.
Come on now.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes.
That's the day you thought the preacher was pointing right at you when you went to church. And it's not him putting the burden on you. The burden's already there. He just enlightened you to the burden.
Amen.
And those are good for us. They're not necessarily bad. They're good for us. They help our lives to change. It's a personal burden. And then there's the burdens that come from without. Acts 16:9 says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. There's a call with that. There's calls out there in this world, in your house, in your job, your school, whatever. And what happens is God puts a burden on your heart and says, this needs to be done.
Amen.
And you can do it. It's in your area. It's in your house. It's in your job. It's at your school. It's in your family. And God puts that burden on you. And those burdens come from without, because then he opens your eyes and lets you see something that sometimes you really don't want to see.
Amen.
You see, I want to think my kids are the best kids. And they are. I want to think my grandchildren are the best grandchildren. Don't we all?
Amen.
But then sometimes you open their eye and says, well, wait a minute, that kid needs some help.
Yeah.
We won't think our marriage is the best marriage.
Yeah.
But sometimes the old devil will get in there and God will open your eyes and say, look, you need some help right here. You need to do something. We want to think that our church is the best church, but sometimes God opens our eyes and says, look, you need some help right here in this area. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
So those are things that come from without. And sometimes you'll be friends with people or associates with people or students or co-workers, and God opens your eyes and says, those people need to be saved. They're never going to come to church with you.
Amen.
They don't want me at their house. You're with them. And God wants you to have a burden for those people. So he lets you see what they're really going through. And then you get a burden for them, don't you? And sometimes, have we not all said this? BJ, haven't we all said this? I wish I'd never seen that. Wish I'd never seen that.
Amen.
Now I'm going to worry about it. Now I'm going to lose sleep over it.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Sometimes I never had a father growing up, but my life wasn't that bad, and it was kind of rough, but it wasn't that bad. And now sometimes I'll see other children, the situations they live in, and I think, Lord, can you not help that youngin? And then I get a call from without that says, yeah, if you'll let me use you, you can help him. Y'all still with me? Just close your eyes. Have you ever thought maybe God was letting you see that to give you that burden for those people?
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
His daddy ought to go to work. Yeah, he ought to, but he don't. So what are you going to do? Well, her mom ought not treat her like that. No, she ought not treat her like that. But she's going to. She always has. So what are you going to do?
Come on now. Yes.
Then we get a call from without. Says, okay, Sister Mary, they ain't going to do nothing. Now, what are we going to do? I could probably just give an invitation right here, couldn't I? Now, listen. Out of darkness, people are crying for light. Out of these dungeons they've made for themselves and drugs and stuff, they're calling for freedom.
Yes.
Out of death, they're crying for life.
Yeah.
And God allows us to see and hear that, so we'll get a burden for them and we'll do something about it.
Amen. Yeah.
I said there's a call from beyond. There's a call, listen, for the burdens. There's a call from behind. You ever thought about this? That cross of Christ, every time you look at it, if you think about what it really means, it's not some pretty piece of jewelry you wear around your neck or stick in your ear or get tattooed on your stinking arm. It's a real, listen, that's a real cross, and a real Savior died on a real cross for real sins to pay for the punishment of sin, which is a real hell, so you could be saved. And that, hey, that comes from behind us, from past time. That's already happened. It's in the past. But don't you ever lose sight of what happened in the past, because there's a call from that cross for us to be saved and us to be sanctified and us to be separated and us to get burdens for other people and us to give out the light. And that cross, every time I look at it, I remember that he said, whosoever will, let him come.
Right.
Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. Rich or poor.
Amen.
My manager at my insurance company told me one time, he said, Ron, you're going about this church thing all wrong. And I'm saying, I listen, he said, you need to get you one of those big churches that have a lot of money, and you have a better salary, and your wife can be better taken care of you, and your family be taken care of. And he just went on with that stuff because he belongs to one of those churches. And I said, listen, that ain't what it's all about.
Amen.
I said, it's about keeping people out of the devil's hell.
Amen. Yeah.
And I said, he said, but you need to quit going after those poor people. I said, well, if I go after the poor one, God will take care of the rest.
Yes.
I said, let me tell you something. I said, you're a smart man in the insurance industry. You've been in it a lot longer than me. I said, if I ever need some advice about the insurance industry, I'll come to you. I said, but if you want some advice about building churches, you call me.
Yeah.
I've been at this a lot longer than you have. You ain't never started the first one yet.
Amen.
And you giving me advice?
Yeah.
You know why? He'd never seen the call. He'd never heard the call. He'd never experienced a call.
Right.
He's never took a real look at Calvary and see what happened up there.
Amen.
Hey, listen, the Bible says that the common people receive Jesus gladly. I'm glad it ain't rich, it ain't poor, it's not educated or uneducated, cultured or uncultured. Boy, if it was cultured, this crowd here wouldn't make it.
Amen.
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 Listen, I'm glad it's not rich. If it's rich, this crowd wouldn't make it. Amen. Amen. Some of you spent, I better not get on with that.
Amen.
Listen, there's a call from behind us. And it, hey, the church, the cross cries out. That Matthew 28:19-20 cries out. After they received him, and as he went up in heaven, he said, go ye therefore into all the world. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's everybody. And listen, every time I look at that cross, I think about his crucifixion, but I think about the creature too. Every creature, and there's a call for us to go in the whole world, everybody down at the restaurant today where you eat, and you ought to bow your head, and you ought to pray. They ought to know you're a Christian when you leave. You ought to leave a gospel tract. You ought to be nice to them. You ought to let them know that you're a child of God. And listen, everywhere we go, we'll remember that cry from the cross.
Amen.
And then there's the church cries from behind us. Listen, Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let's do good unto all men. You hear it? All men, even Democrats. Even liberals. Do good unto all men. But look here, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now let me tell you something. The call of God goes out to everybody in this church. And let me tell you something. And Jason Coley was really impressed me in this area before he died. When somebody in this church dies, everybody ought to go to the funeral. Everybody ought to go to the family and friends. Everybody ought to send cards. Everybody ought to make cards, calls. Everybody ought to send some flowers. Everybody ought to be there. Everybody. That's the call. When somebody in this church is having tragedy in their life, everybody ought to love them. Everybody ought to tell them they love them. Everybody ought to encourage them. Everybody. He said the church, that's everybody, has a call to serve one another.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'll know at your funeral, and I'm going to preach every one of you's funeral. Don't worry about me. All y'all be gone. But I'll know at your funeral how good a Christian you were. It's the truth. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
I mean, boy, you go to them old mean, rotten Baptists that have no compassion, no mercy, no love on people. You go down to their funeral, you'll see a bunch of dry-eyed, straight-faced, very few people. But boy, you can go to one of these old ladies, you know, in our church, and she loved everybody and tried to take care of everybody and tried to encourage everybody. Might not have been able to read real well. Might not have been able to have a big salary in this world or a big house. But boy, you go to her funeral, you have to wait in line for an hour. You know why? She answered a call. She answered a call. God called her. Be a loving, humble servant. And she answered the call. About a year after I got saved, God began to deal with me about preaching. I never knew but one preacher. That's the man that won me to the Lord. I didn't know what a preacher was. I certainly didn't know what a pastor was. I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know anything. I barely had learned some verses. You know, I might have known a few verses. But every time I'd read the Bible, I'd read about Moses, and God would tell him what to do. And I'd feel like I'd hear his voice saying, Ron, that's you. And I'd hear him talk. I'd read about Isaiah, and I'd feel like my name was right
Amen.
There.
Amen.
And I'd go to church, and the preacher would preach about John the Baptist, and I heard Ron the Baptist. And God called me. And I struggled. I said, Lord, this is not real. There's something wrong. I knew the call. I felt it at salvation.
Yeah.
I knew the call. I felt it at some separation. But now he's calling me to service. And I said, Lord, you must have made a mistake. Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
And he wouldn't leave me alone.
Thank you, Lord.
I couldn't sleep.
Thank you, Lord.
And I couldn't work. And I couldn't read my Bible. And I couldn't pray without hearing that call. You say, preacher, are you crazy? No, I'm telling you, if you ever get the call to serve God, call to salvation, call to separation, call to serve, you'll know it's God calling you.
Amen.
Now, at first, you may wonder, is that the preacher? Samuel thought it was the preacher. Then you may wonder, well, is that my wife telling me to do it? Or is that my husband? Or is that... But then it'll keep calling. Then finally, you'll get down on your knees and you say, Lord, speak, thy servant here. And you'll know who called you that day. Whether it's for salvation, separation, or service. Some of you may have ignored the call so long, it's become a faint, distant sound. But he's still calling. You know, most of us in this room think nothing, we ought not think much of ourselves anyway.
Yeah.
But did you know, it's shocking what one person answering the call of God, how it can affect the whole family.
Amen.
And a whole town.
Yep.
And a whole
Thank
church.
You, Lord.
When I grew up, you never heard in our family, we didn't say, I love you. Nobody ever said that. We didn't hug. Nobody ever hugged in my family. We never, we weren't emotional. We weren't loving. We were hard. And you know, you hear, oh, you're stupid, or you're crazy, or you're dumb, or who do you think you are? You know, just beat down, beat up. But boy, I got saved. And I called my mom. I said, Mama. I started crying. I said, Mom, I just want to tell you I got saved. And my mama started crying. I thought she was sick. That mama, 40 years ago, she's still well. I said, Mom, you sick? I can be down there in an hour. She said, so I'm not sick. I'm happy. And then my brothers and sisters, my mainly retarded sisters, they went to church pretty regular. And occasionally you'd hear them say something about love, but the rest of them didn't. So after I got saved, I made a point. I'd tell them, I said, I love you. I sat down and wrote my three older brothers a letter one time. And I said, look, I know we don't have the same father, but we got the same mother. And I said, I just want you to know I got saved. And I wrote a little bit about it. And I said, I want you to know I love you. And I don't want you to go to hell. And I know you don't want me to talk to you about it. You've told me you don't want me to talk to you about it. But so I sent you this letter, and I'm praying for you. And it would shock you how stuff like that changed my whole family. Now they're all gone. I'm the last one. But you know, before they left, all of them got into the Lord, except I have doubts just about one. But even he was nicer. Even he seemed to be more loving. Now look, God's calling you to do that in your family.
Amen.
Went down there on the job and where it was cussing and fussing. All of a sudden, things changed around my job. Now today, God's calling everybody in this room. The problem is, do you recognize the call? And have you ever answered it? Now, if you're not saved, I beg you, I plead with you. If he's called you, you know it. Just walk down this aisle. We're not going to make you join the church or do anything or sign anything. This preacher standing right here, he's going to take a Bible. He's going to take you in a room. He's going to show you about four or five verses. And then he's going to ask you if you want to pray. And if you don't know what to pray, he'll help you pray. And you can be saved today. But if you're a saint today and there's something in your life and you're struggling with it, come down here and say, Lord, I heard you today and I know what it is, but I need some help, Lord. I'm answering the call. Now help me with this separation problem. And then maybe you're a saint today, you're saved, you know you're on your way to heaven, there's no doubt in your mind. you're separated. Your life's pretty clean, as far as clean can be. But today, you're really not serving God. You're not really doing... Nobody's getting saved because of you. Nobody's life is any better because you got saved. Nobody gets burdened or convicted when you're around. And God's calling you to be a servant so that others can be saved. All you have to do is come down here to this altar and say, Lord, my flesh don't want to be, but I want to answer the call. Here I am, Lord. Let's stand, Father. You know every heart.